Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Lord Krishna told the gopis, "The means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. Unfortunately, you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss." Purport. The fulfillment of human life is summarized in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.44. There are two important words in this verse, bhakti, devotional service, and amritatva, eternal life. The aim of human life is to attain the natural position of eternal life. This eternal life can be achieved only by devotional service. Magyanata Murandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Twam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakamvitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasili Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so reading from this wonderful chapter of the Madhya Leela, talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. I should ask the blessings of all the devotees, so by your blessings we can speak something that will be edifying to the soul, that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara. Very, very interesting verse. In this sequence of verses, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy, they're discussing. And Ramananda Roy is going deeper and deeper into this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. At one point in the future verse, Ramananda Roy is making the point that I'm only able to speak by your grace. This ability to do anything in the service of the Lord is a very interesting aspect of our philosophy. From the material point of view, a living entity has karma. So our karma is accrued through previous decisions, previous activities. So we engage in a particular activity, but that activity or no activity is neutral in the material world. So an activity either increases one's opportunity to utilize free will, or an activity may start to close down the free will. So it's almost like, to use a bad analogy, gambling, right? They say the house always wins, right? So no matter what you play, how you play in gambling, but some decisions will start to erode your winnings. It's designed like that. So initially, it may seem like something is going well. In the long term, those decisions start to actually bring the individual down. Now, that's one reaction externally, because the Lakshmi is going. The other reaction is internal. Now the person has become habituated to that particular activity. So this is the flow of incarceration in the material world. But this is speaking about something different. The means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. This is the essence of what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. In order to attain the favor of Krishna, we have to come to this loving service. And there's a lot to this, this idea of loving service. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shivanam, Sevanam, Bhakti Yogyate. But this devotional service is performed with the senses. But more than with the senses, this devotional service is performed with the heart. So it is also, and especially, the intention behind the activity which is essential. The same activity can be done, but can be done for very, very different purposes. And because motive is part of the service, it is by the motivation under which we are acting that also takes us in a particular direction. It's a very interesting analogy. You can think about it, and many of us have had this experience, someone speaking to you, and they're saying something, and they're saying all the right words, but you're not happy about what they're saying, right? Because they're saying the right words with the wrong motive. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So in some cultures, they're very good at insulting people. So they can be very sarcastic. Oh, you decide to wear that dress, right? So it's an idea. It seems on one level it's like a praise, but because of the mood and because of the intention, you feel uneasy. Right? In a similar sense, when we're engaging in devotional service, anything is good actually on one level. Anything is good from the point of view of getting your foot in the door. Right? Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, you see all these different levels. Whatever you want to do, Krishna says, you do it for me. Okay? But Prabhupada says the last instruction is the most important. Right? The last instruction, which is that this Sarva Dharma Paritya Ja. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai Guru Parampara Shiva Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Jai. But the last instruction is the most important. So this Sarva Dharma Paritya Ja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Masuchaha. So it's not all the instructions are equal. It's not the case at all. In fact, it's a journey. So one instruction will be very, very helpful for someone who's a newcomer, to uplift them and to encourage them. Later on, a different instruction will be given, which will start to focus that bhakti more and more. And ultimately, anyabilasita shunyam, jnana kamadanavrita manukulina krishna nu shilanam bhakti uttama. Ultimately, it is actually not about just doing anything and everything. What we're trying to come to is a platform of pure devotional service. An activity. So one is active, performed favorably, right? For the pleasure of the Lord, for Krishna's pleasure, free of the desire for karma, right? For fruitive results, and free of the desire for jnana. Jnana also means free of the desire for liberation. So someone may be a jnani, right? So all the devotees have come in from different places. We've come in from different lifetimes. So sometimes a devotee was a jnani in their previous life. They just like to be by themselves. They don't necessarily want to associate so much in the community of Vaishnavas. I'm happy reading my books. Leave me alone. And someone else in a previous life, they were a yogi. They love sadhana. Right? But the interactions may be a little bit more difficult. But ultimately, these things are all unnatural. By nature, we're eternal servants of Krishna. And this is really important. By nature, the only thing that will give us lasting satisfaction is this pure devotional service. Not devotional service. Pure devotional service. We are built literally for the act of giving. Now, this becomes difficult because we have two things. We have our eternal nature as pure, loving, and giving living entities. And then the fact that we've been in this material world for so long that we've become acculturated in a series of very unnatural ways. Right? How do we reconcile the two things? It's like this. Imagine that you were drowning for a long time. So you are underwater and then suddenly someone pulls you up. So just at the point that you're about to pass away, someone pulls you out of the water. So then immediately you start gasping, Okay? So you're gasping for air. That gasping, that sense of breathing, at that point that you're pulled up, it feels very unnatural. It's very labored. Okay? But it's not labored because it's unnatural. It's labored because we were in an unnatural position. Under normal circumstances, breathing is second nature. Under normal circumstances, we don't have to think about it. It's not something that we have to do consciously. It's second nature, except when we are pulled out of an unnatural situation. And therefore, in the same way, this devotional service, let's be honest, sometimes it may feel unnatural. Why do I have to give the Mahaprasadam to that devotee? I don't even know him, right? Doesn't smile at me, doesn't say thank you, right? And then someone's going to remind you of that famous verse. What is that? Trinadapi Sunichano. You know, devotees have a very good sense of timing, right? So then someone will remind you of that particular verse. Right? Devotees have a verse for everything, right? Just when you want some TLC, they'll hit you with some philosophy. So there are various aspects of this Krishna consciousness. So we have been in an unnatural situation for such a long time. And it's a very serious point. Because actually, the state of the heart has a lot to do with how we can serve. It empowers our service. Right? It is therefore the duty of each and every devotee to protect the heart. Right? You will see, and many of you have seen, devotees who become a bit bitter and resentful because they came to this movement and they gave their heart. Right? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands if you know someone like that, because I know what the answer would be. So sometimes a devotee will come to this movement and they will serve their heart out. Right? Actually, it's a very, very special stage. In these early stages of Krishna consciousness, the devotee is literally ready and willing to worship anyone, right? Because they must be a pure devotee, right? Right? That's the whole point. After all, he wore tilak. And tilak, it was so straight. It was incredible. It was incredible, right? Or she wore tilak, whichever. So the devotee is ready to hit the floor, dandavats a few times a day. It's all good. It's all good. Krishna consciousness, it is like the process of maturation. So just like a child is maturing, in a similar way, we are meant to go through this process of maturation. Little musical interlude there. We're meant to go through this process of maturation. And so it's a very serious thing, because at different stages, a devotee needs something different. Okay? It is a real progressive march. And what's meant to happen is, in devotional service, we're meant to gain this momentum. Through the hearing, through the chanting, through the service, one is meant to gain this momentum and this desire to go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. And so the understanding, it begins in a global way. It starts global, but over time, the understanding becomes more and more specific. Right? More and more specific. In the beginning, you chant how you like. It's all good. You're at a program, you meet someone new. Yes, just try the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? What is it? Prabhupada's such a great marketer. Right? He has all these different taglines. You know, chant and be happy. Right? Sounds wonderful. So you're chanting and chanting and chanting. And actually, there is a great deal of joy that comes in the beginning, because in the beginning, especially, one's devotional service isn't offensive. And actually, as we mature, we're meant to come back to that state of innocence, but with discrimination. It's a very, very serious journey. And many times, devotees can be taken out if we do not do this process, follow this process properly. So there's different stages. First thing the material energy tries to do, just make you a complete atheist. Okay? Best that you don't believe in God. You know, it's all, you know, you can't enjoy yourself. You have to follow this, you have to follow that. I mean, you know, do you really want to do that? Why don't you just go clubbing? Okay? So best is, if the material energy wants to make the living entity just a complete atheist. But if she can't do that, then you should be a hypocrite. Right? Yeah, do it. Okay, but if you're going to go, go, but, you know, once a week is enough. I mean, you know, let's not be fanatical, Prabhu, right? It's that kind of mood. Yeah, you can just go once, quickly jump into the temple, see the Lord as quickly as possible and jump out again before these other guys try to stop you and engage you in some activity. Right? Whatever you do, be careful. They may try and engage you in some service. So the first stage, make the person atheistic, if not, make them a hypocrite. Now, what happens next? If Maya cannot make you a hypocrite, then there'll be an attempt to frustrate you in the association of the Vaishnavas. Can anyone relate to that? So, this is why there's such an emphasis which is placed upon proper association in Krishna consciousness. It is a real science. In fact, it is such a science that if you study the 11th canto, one of the factors in the series of verses in the 11th canto that differentiates the Kanishtha from the Madhyam, and Prabhupada will again make that point in the Nectar of Instruction, is that the Madhyams, they know how to interact with the devotees properly according to their level. It's a huge topic, because what does it mean? It means that they're able to extract all kinds of nectar from the association without drinking any poison. It is a real aspect of loving dealings, mature dealings. And it is something that we're meant to learn. And this is so important. Why? Because we are being strengthened and inspired and motivated by the association that we keep. We were explaining in some class, actually it was a retreat. So just as you digest food, okay? And the food you digest, the quality of it, how you digest, that actually becomes your physical body. According to Ayurveda, also part of the food that you digest becomes your subtle body, right? So then this is why there's such an emphasis on prasadam, honoring properly, etc., because your mind is also a result of what you've digested in terms of the actual food, the physical diet. But it's more than that. The subtle body is actually all of the impressions that we digest, right? All the impressions that come in that we open ourselves up to and are receptive to, that actually becomes part of our subtle body. It becomes our character. That means the association, the devotees you associate with, how you associate with them, what you read and hear, how you take that in, how you read it, how you hear it. All of these things are actually making up your character. And not only do they make up your character, and you've seen this over time, right? You see over time the devotees. Have you noticed that over time, when someone's new and they come to Krishna consciousness, over time, even their physical appearance changes subtly. Have you seen that? Right? Prabhupada talks about how the devotees, they become brighter, they're effulgent, because it's actually flushing out all of these types of mental toxins. You can consider that the anattas are toxins. Sometimes people think that, oh, this devotee acts this way, this devotee acts that way, they've got this bad quality, that bad quality. You should feel compassion for any devotee who's struggling with certain qualities. Because the anattas themselves are a form of torture. Right? You understand how it works? Any bad qualities you see in an individual, you should immediately offer that mood of compassion. See, because it's like this, it's very simple. If there are any qualities which are of a lower mode, then those qualities disturb the heart. Right? And if those qualities disturb the heart, then the individual cannot actually achieve deep happiness. There's a formula for happiness, and all the issues in the material world are due to a lack of application of this one formula. This point that Krishna, well, that the Bhagavatam makes, this ahoitukiya pratiyata yayatmasu prasidati, that the devotional service has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the heart, satisfy the self. And this is why living entities are not happy. And this is why even as devotees sometimes we're not happy. Because we're doing the devotional service, but it's motivated. We're doing the devotional service, but I want something for my devotional service. Right? I want something material for my devotional service. I can be nice to the Vaishnavas, but you know, but they need to respect me, right? You can't just, you know, walk away. I did something for you. You know, you see sometimes that mood. We're stacking chips, right? We're counting, right? So I'm doing one thing for you. You're going to do one thing for me. I'm doing two things for you. You're going to do two things for me. I'm going to do three things for you because it's your birthday, right? It's like a one-off. But then we'll go back to counting. But this is unnatural. There's an interesting statement in the Nitti. Chanakya says, everything unnatural is an enemy. It's a very deep point. It means that you can just watch and see to the extent that someone is acting according to the nature of the soul, to that extent, even if the person isn't seemingly happy now, guaranteed, I repeat, guaranteed, you'll see over time, amazing things will start to flourish in the heart of that living entity. Okay? So this is Krishna consciousness. In this verse, Krishna says, the means for attaining my favor is loving service unto me. And then he says, unfortunately, you are all thus engaged. It has taken so many of us so many lifetimes to come to this point of devotional service. Perhaps you've heard this point in a class before. But there's a purport to this. The reason why these points are given is because one of the purposes that they're trying to invoke within our hearts is a sense of just how rare this devotional service is. You see? Anyone can say that I understand it, I've heard that before. Forget that. The point is, if you've heard, it means you do. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 8, they talk about those factors that constitute knowledge. And the first factor that is described is what? It's humility. Because without humility, none of these other things can be understood. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they told me something which I hadn't understood before. They were talking and they were saying that sometimes devotees will try to come to a class, and they'll want to hear something, but their purpose in hearing the class is just that they can go away and say, yeah, I know that stuff. Right? Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that before, you know, like that. Prabhupada, a lot of devotees don't like Prabhupada's books. Right? We're kind of respectful, and it's not said in public so much. It's like, but in the class, but when people are reading privately, oh my God, he said that we're not the body again, right? Again, you know? And they'll want to get onto something else. But there's a purpose behind all of these points. The teachings are not just to be heard. These teachings are meant to be realized. The whole point is to realize them. Okay, so you've heard that we should engage in pure devotional service. Is that what we do? Is that the modus operandi? Is that how we live on a day-to-day basis? Is that our mentality? Okay, that means we haven't heard enough if we're not at that point. So these things are meant to be realized. And therefore, again and again and again, from different angles, different points of view, different pastimes and so on, these same points will be made. And the humility of the devotee is that we go deeper and deeper into understanding this to the point that we ingest it, to the point that we become that. And it's tremendous good fortune. The reason why we are meant to understand that it's taken so many lifetimes is because then we will take the gift seriously. Right? The point is that when you're given something and you understand, it's extremely rare. I'm going to give you this jewel. No one else has it. It is a specific type of jewel. It can be found in a very rare location on Earth. Practically none of these are left on the planet, but I'm giving the one or two that's left, I'm giving it to you. Right? The whole purpose behind that is that when you understand this is hard to come by, very rare, very valuable, there's a symptom that comes for someone who actually feels that way towards what they've been given. And in a similar sense, there's a symptom, there's a way of being that comes to someone who understands how rare devotional service is. Right? You can understand what the person really thinks about their Krishna consciousness by how they engage in this Krishna consciousness, how they guard their Krishna consciousness, how they cultivate their Krishna consciousness. All of this indicates something about their mentality towards it, especially when no one else is there. Because when everyone else is there, then, you know, hey, I should, you know, we're in the temple, I could act properly, right? It's how you are at home when no one else is there. That says a lot. So fortunate. We're very, very fortunate to be thus engaged. And we want to be more fortunate. In Krishna consciousness, there is absolutely no point of stagnation. If we are not making progress, then we are regressing, right? So just in the same way that there is this deep flow of conversation, Ramananda Roy speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the same way there should be this flow towards deeper and deeper aspects of Krishna consciousness. We have to imbibe it more and more. This Krishna consciousness is meant to become our entire world. Right? To the point that everything we see, everything we do, everything we say, it becomes an impetus for remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not Krishna, our Krishna. Right? This with feelings of possessiveness, feelings of relationship, this sambandha, right? How Krishna in our day-to-day life is manifesting his grace, is showing us what we need to be working on, and is making arrangements for us, knowing that there's nothing inauspicious in this world. Even if something seems inauspicious, it's still auspicious if we're following properly. If we're following properly. So this devotional service, this bhakti yoga, is very rare. There was, I think it was here. So when Shiv Ramaraj was GBC, there were some academics that came to the manor. And he was showing them around. And one of the academics said to Shiv Ramaraj, you know, this book, this, and they pointed to Bhagavad Gita as it is, and said, your Prabhupada, he seems to be implying that his Bhagavad Gita is the proper Bhagavad Gita, and that other Bhagavad Gitas are not the real Bhagavad Gita. So Shiv Ramaraj said to the person, he said, Prabhupada isn't implying that. He said, that's exactly what he's saying. Right? He said to him, in fact, if you look at the introduction, and it's there, if you look at the introduction, Prabhupada writes about how at the time of printing, there are over 700 editions of the Bhagavad Gita and they're practically useless. Very interesting statement. And this is a very interesting thing, because also if you look at Prabhupada's mood, that's his mood. And that mood, it permeates this movement. And that mood is meant to be imbibed by everyone. He's not shy. Have you noticed that about Prabhupada? He's not shy at all. In fact, the mood of Prabhupada, he's not interested in establishing Krishna consciousness. He's interested in taking over the entire planet. If you catch the mood, just look at the way he speaks, the tone. When he's speaking to people in conversations, when he's writing in the purples, Prabhupada said, he said, the difference between me and my God brothers, he said this, is that they all think like Indians, I think like an American. Right? Now, I've been to America. It's intense, right? Right? I'm sure many of you understand what I'm talking about. But the point is, it's a takeover bit. So you should be very clear about this. The purpose of Prabhupada, which means the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, it's a takeover bit. They're not interested in establishing a few temples here and there. What they're trying to do, be very clear on this point, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, what the previous acharyas are doing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, all of these acharyas who are intimate associates of Mahaprabhu in their sadhaka roop, intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrajalila, they have come to take over the entire planet. And they've enlisted each and every person in this room for that same purpose. I was discussing with some devotees recently. I'm always trying to understand what's going on. I've seen that the devotees who are really able to push There's two sides to their nature. The ones who are really able to push this movement. You have to be spiritually wise, and you have to be worldly wise. The Sri Upanishad talks about this point, this understanding of transcendence and nescience side by side. Both things have to be understood. Why? Because you're implementing Krishna consciousness in the world. You're also implementing Krishna consciousness in your own life. You see? The scripture will give the poverty and the nivritti. The scripture will give those things which we should practically and positively engage in. But it will also give the nivritti of the things to avoid. If you just know what to do, great, you're engaging in certain things, but what Maya will do, she will sneak up behind you and bring other things into your life space that you're not expecting. And before you know it, she takes over. Right? So there has to be the positive engagement, and there has to be the things that I close the door to. Right? So this Krishna consciousness is a real adventure. Right? People don't know what they enlisted themselves in for, right? We think it was just in Prabhupada's time, because in Prabhupada's time, some of the devotees, when they came, the day of initiation, they didn't even know about the four regulative principles. Amazing, right? Right? But you should be clear, something like that is happening now. We may think we know about the four regulative principles. You don't know everything that's in these books, right? As we read, we'll come across certain things in our teachings which will absolutely shock us. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, we kept hearing this phrase, which everyone hears, you're going to go back home, back to Godhead, right? It sounds like one of those short clips from a movie, right? A trailer. You're going to go back to Godhead. But there's so much more to that back to Godhead. Technically, what will happen is when the devotee is sufficiently qualified, they will take birth in the womb of a gopi. They will take birth in the womb of a gopi somewhere in the material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. So we hear back to Godhead, but it's a sutra. There's so much more in there. In fact, so much of Krishna consciousness is like that. The way it begins and the way it ends, there'll be a maturation of understanding. So the scripture is just like a good education system. In the beginning stages, what you will teach people is 1 + 1 = 2. You're not going to confuse them with anything else. 1 + 1 = 2. When the individual starts to grasp and understand that, progressively, there'll be deeper and deeper insight into that same point. Even in our scripture, in the beginning, yes, what is it? When we think of the Shikshashtakam, right? There is no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names of the Lord, right? Isn't it? That's what's said, isn't it? That's our philosophy. And then you're going to hear about Namaparad, right? You know that day, right? You first came, yeah, there's no hard and fast rules. Do whatever you want, it's okay. And you're thinking, I'm doing quite well, right? I'm doing really well here. And then someone hits you with the Namaparad line. And then they're going to hit you with the Namabas, and then, you know, I thought you told me in the beginning, but there's no... Yeah. So it's going to be like that. Increasing depth. Okay? Increasing depth. This devotional service, this is Shushukam Kartama Vyayam. It is very, very beautiful. If Krishna consciousness is done properly, no one's going to get bored. Believe me, right? If you're doing this process properly, don't worry. Krishna will keep you busy. Right? So it's very, very fortunate that we've been given this. So anyway, we were talking about how... So Shiva Maharaj was making that particular point. So this is what Prabhupada is actually saying. And we see this because in this verse, it's really in one sense talking about the glories. The means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. So only by loving service can Krishna be achieved. All these other processes which are mentioned in the scriptures are just to bring the person to this one point. No other purpose. Because Krishna also is liberal, right? So in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying early in the earlier verses that unless one engages one's karma yoga, one's activities for his pleasure, it leads to karma bandhanaha. One becomes bound again by that same fruitive activity. So the karma yoga is perfected when that fruit is given to the Lord, offered to the Lord with love, right? In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam jama namante gyanavamam prapadyate vasudeva savamiti sa mahatma sudurlabaha. He says, after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, right? So the jnana yogi, after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, that person comes to understand vasudeva savamiti. The vasudeva Krishna is everything. Sa mahatma sudurlabaha. Such a great soul is extremely rare. So what we've been given, we have to remember from time to time, what is the quality of what we're doing? This is extremely special. Hardly anyone, and then want to talk about bhakti, to have the engagement in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, where we are being given an understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come in a hidden form. Channa avatar, Gupta avatar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And then being given the opportunity to engage in that type of service under the direction and the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. Extremely rare. So it's the rare, it's the rarest of the rare. This is the quality of the gift that's been given. And if we understand that, it is shown by a certain way of behavior. Ultimately, without bhakti, we can't know Krishna. Bhakto sime sakasati rahasyam hetadutamam. Krishna explains this to Arjuna. You'll understand this rahasyam, this transcendental secret. Why? Bhakto sime saka. Because you're my devotee and you're my friend. So this Krishna consciousness is a very intimate, very close love affair. With these feelings of mamata, possessiveness, Krishna is mine. Right? I am Krishna's and Krishna, he belongs to me. Right? Because it is only by the power of devotional service that we can attract Krishna. Right? And ultimately, it is by the power of this pure devotional service that Srila Prabhupada is giving us the opportunity to engage in. And this pure devotional service, this brings us to Vrindavan. It is this pure devotional service that brings us to the eternal abode of Vrindavan. Krishna's eternal home, where he is engaged in his eternal pastimes with his eternal associates. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has come to give. This is the point. And everything that we do is a step towards that particular conclusion. Here this line says, those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss. So this Satchit Ananda, we hear about this a lot. Unfortunately, the material world is Asat Achit Nirnanda. So the material energy, Asat, so everything is temporary. Achit, not much knowledge, right? We're putting it mildly, a lot of ignorance. And Nirnanda, we don't experience the bliss that we are always looking for. So there's a real... it's actually embarrassing for the soul to have a material body. Frankly, it's embarrassing, right? And that's why it's an unnatural situation. And even if the body is young, you know it's going to get old, right? It's not going to stay like that for a long time. So get ready, okay? So the point is, it's an embarrassment for the soul. It is below our birthright. Now, some people don't take it very seriously, but it's a serious point. What's meant to happen is we're meant to be intelligent enough to understand that the body is actually, it comes up for some time and at some point it starts to dwindle and decay. What the question is, okay, that's a fact. What are you going to do about it? The majority of living entities, they will do nothing about it. In fact, they become more incarcerated because the more that you identify with the body, the more you identify with all the suffering that will take place with the body. You see the point? It's not neutral.
It's not like, you know, I will just identify the body now. I'm going to enjoy myself materially now. I'll engage, I'll gratify my senses now. But when I'm older and I know it's not possible to enjoy, then I'll do something spiritual. It doesn't work that way. Because it's an addiction. You see? Krishna, you should understand, if you look deeply at these teachings, what you'll see is Krishna's deep compassion. Honestly, if you look deeply at the teachings, you'll see Krishna's deep compassion. What he does is he doesn't want anyone to suffer. So what he'll do before the suffering will happen, he'll say, dude, listen, in the future, that body's going to go down, right? But there's a way out of it. The way out of it is right now, while you can, engage in my devotional service. Not only should you engage in my devotional service, take it seriously. Really go into this. And then what will happen is, over time, as the body starts to decay, but what will happen is your consciousness will have a different trajectory to the body. You see? That's actually what's meant to happen in the life of a devotee. Yeah, the body's going down, but you're not going down. In fact, while the body's going down, your consciousness becomes more blissful. And interestingly enough, because of the consciousness, it will also change, it will slightly adjust the trajectory of the body. You sometimes hear about this with Prabhupada. He's walking faster than his disciples. They're in their 20s, he's in his 70s. How is that possible? They get tired, he sleeps 2 hours a night. Right? Think about it. He's in his 70s, he's sleeping 2 hours a night. And so what is it, Prabhupada, Tamal Krishnamaj told Prabhupada, they're not keeping up with us, right? So the BBT, you know, they said that, you know, so the BBT weren't keeping up with the book distributors. We're distributing so many books, right? And they're not printing enough books to supply us for us to distribute in the Sankirtan. You know those days, right? The real, very competitive Sankirtan spirit, which Prabhupada encouraged, by the way. And so Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamaj, he said, okay, I will tell them to print more books. He said, but what you should understand is they can't keep up with you, but you can't keep up with me. And then Prabhupada was explaining, because I'm many cantos ahead of you. I've written all these books already. You haven't even started distributing them. Right? So this is the mood. It's very much like that. So this Krishna consciousness is a gift. And Krishna, he wants the best for all of us. But we have to take the hint. The time to become serious about your spiritual life is right now. Please don't wait. Don't wait for anything. Don't wait for other devotees. Don't even wait for you know, your authorities to tell you to become serious. The time to become serious about your Krishna consciousness is now. It's always now. And if we do that, no matter what we go through, it will be seen differently. You see, our experience of life is always within the context of our consciousness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? It's the consciousness that frames everything you experience. If the consciousness is good, even the most challenging situations, they become an adventure. It's like, wow, Krishna's put me in this situation. Right, let's do something about it. But if the consciousness is bad, everything becomes a drag. Yeah? It really is like that. And so it's not what's happening to us. It's the context through which we see the situations that are happening to us. And that context is something that we're building every single moment of every single day with every single thought that we engage in. Right? And we've all experienced this. You've seen in your life, you came across a particular challenge in spiritual life, but because you'd been reading and hearing and you had good association, when the challenge came, you were like, yep, bring it on, Krishna, I'm ready. Let's do this. Yeah? Other times, your reading and your chanting and your association wasn't very good, and then something even of a lesser quality came into your life, it completely knocked you for six. That's the whole point. That's the real point. It's a question of consciousness, ladies and gentlemen. Right? So back to the point that we made earlier, our character is based upon what we are digesting. Right? There's nothing that's neutral. What you read, what you hear, who you associate with, even the devotees, if you're around devotees, even if you don't speak to them, they're carrying a certain aspect of consciousness. So just by being around them, that spillover is occurring. Okay? So there is nothing neutral. Therefore, and this is a real, really powerful point, therefore, we can literally become stronger by taking more advantage of the process. Okay? An advantage means two things. It means quantity and quality. So what's implicit within our scriptures is it's not just the activity that we do, but it's the receptiveness with which the activity is done. You can engage in an activity with a grudge. Right? In fact, the scripture will say that devotional service performed grudgingly is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Yeah, right? Oh, you know, I don't want to serve that devotee, right? But, you know, he's senior to me, so I'm going to have to do it. You know, that kind of mood. You perform devotional service in that grudging mood. You won't get the same benefit as if the same activity. So it's not a question of how much time, right? Never think that the people who pull in the most hours are going to make the most advancement. Not like, doesn't work like that at all, right? You can do the same activity, but with a different consciousness, you get a different result. Again, that point, just like when someone is speaking to you, it's not just what they're saying, that's content. But it's the mode, sorry, it's the motive, right? So why are they saying that? And then it's also the mood. How is it being said, right? So all of these things, these are subtleties to our service. We're doing activities. So service is done with the senses. Okay, why am I doing this particular devotional service? Is it for name and fame? Is it to get one over on the other devotees? I'm going to show you that I'm a better devotee than you are, right? You're chanting, you're sitting down. I can chant sitting down too. Right? Yeah? I can sit down. Yeah, it's no biggie for me. I can do it. This kind of mood. So it's this kind of one-upmanship. So why we're doing this devotional service. And Krishna's ultimately watching all of this. Prabhupada said that his success was that I did not deviate an inch from the order of my spiritual master. So when you take initiation, it gives another focus. It's not just devotional service. You have an instruction that you've been asked to fulfill. Get it done. Yeah? Make that life and soul. Yeah? In a way which is still cooperative and encouraging to everyone. And that's another interesting point. And maybe we'll say this last point then end. Because devotional service is not just a matter of the body, it's actually a question of the heart. For that reason also, there's the activity, but there's the mood in which it's done. We can get so much more benefit from our devotional service if we can do it in such a way that also uplifts and inspires everyone else. You sometimes see the immature bhakta or bhaktin, right? So Guru Maharaj has come, right? So they're going to serve Guru Maharaj, but they're practically kicking and pushing everyone else out the way while they're serving. So on the one level, you could say yeah, they're serving the spiritual master, but the way that it's being done is terrible. Right? And the way that it's being done actually is causing other people to be uninspired. So that's not very mature. So on one level, you could say, yes, they're serving Guru Maharaj, but do you have to actually kick everyone else out the way while you're doing it? Right? So it's these immaturities. It's these immaturities that we have to be mindful of. And ultimately, if we do that, then we can have the fulfillment, as Prabhupada says in this first line, the fulfillment of human life. And then he talks about these two important words, bhakti, so this devotional service, and amritatva. Yeah, amritatva, eternal life. So we don't want to be embarrassed by the physical body. We want to move into a different trajectory. In fact, the higher the consciousness is, actually it affects the physical body as well. You will see, you will notice that devotees, they don't age the same way as materialistic people. Right? You'll notice if you look carefully, devotees, they do have an effulgence to them. Right? They do have an effulgence. And especially advanced devotees, they can really see that. They can actually see that. There's a certain radiance because of this clean living. Yeah, this clean living. And it's also because in engaging in devotional service, there's this protection, this devotional spiritual protection that accrues around the particular person.
So even the way that their karma manifests is different. If they have to go through something, it's different. There are so many subtle benefits to devotional service, you could not even begin to count them all. They just happen automatically. And so we have a lot to look forward to. Our path, our line, is a line that never ends. The experiences, the blessings, the realizations on this path of bhakti is unlimited. Right? Krishna is unlimited. You know, I was reading through these series of verses, and it's talking about how when Krishna is with the gopis, for example, he's even more beautiful. Isn't that interesting? Right? He's even more beautiful. And Prabhupada, he was speaking to Mensa, the high IQ society. They said to him, is God so great that he can create something which is so heavy that even he can't lift it? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, God is so great that he can create something which is so heavy that even he can't lift it, and then he can lift it. Just to blow their minds, right? Yeah. And he just explained to them, Krishna's becoming more and more amazing every moment. So whatever he does at one moment, he can outdo the next moment. Right? It's achintya shakti, inconceivable potency. So we just have to take this very, very seriously. And I'll leave you with this. I did an exercise with a group of devotees, was it Saturday? Yesterday, in the class. And what I asked them to do, just write down, what things are going well for you in spiritual life? You can make a list, the things which you feel, yeah, that's good, I'm pleased with that, it's going well. And I wrote, and I said also, but the next list you should write, where are there opportunities for you to improve? Right? And not in a grudging sense, not like, oh, I've got to wake up early, not like that. But more in, where's your inspiration? Of the things that you can improve on, maybe it's you can read a bit more. Maybe you can be a bit more attentive in your chanting. Maybe you can make a special effort to come to the morning program. Whatever it is, write down, what are some things that I could improve on? And then from that list of things you can improve on, start with one thing, something that you're inspired to do, that you will actually do. And by this process, of sankalpa, some determination, some focus, I'm going to focus on this, I'm going to improve in this area. Bit by bit, refine and deepen your devotional service and see what happens. The last point is what we said before. This Krishna consciousness is an affair of the heart. Protect your heart. Whatever happens, do not allow yourself to become a devotee who becomes bitter and resentful because of bad dealings in this movement. You understand? I'm very serious. Take it seriously. Yeah? So always, you should practice devotional service wisely. Okay? You should be wise and sincere in how you practice devotional service, and don't think it's some kind of debt to your detriment. It will keep you alive in this movement. Make sense? Okay. So we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janita Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay. Do we have time for questions? Is that okay? Okay. I'm sorry I've gone over time. Yes. Do we have to give a microphone or? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You mentioned Bhagavad Gita Sloka. Bahunam Janmanamate, Jnan Van Mam Prabhadade, Vasudeva Saurabhati, So Mahatma Sudhu Labaha. So how do you identify Mahatma in the society?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was speaking to someone about this the other day. Actually, yesterday. Speaking to one devotee. The point is that we have to be qualified, right? We should be crying for that kind of association. Meaning that we should have an intense desire for that association, along with being the best association that we can be for other people. You see? So there's sometimes a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You see? So we have to be ready. Ultimately, we're dependent upon Krishna's grace for everything. Everything. Yeah? But we can show that we really desire that association by taking our devotional service very seriously, being completely non-offensive, and then always having that intense desire, that cultivating that intense desire to have that association so that we can serve such personalities and learn from them. If we had that all the time, then everything will be taken care of. Is that okay?
Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your question. Any other question?
So you mentioned about that in the beginning, in the neophyte stage, one pray practice devotional service out of motivation. They want to be happy. They want to get rid of, you know, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And then in later stages, that devotional service becomes a hek dukhiya pratihata. So does the sadhaka need to make a conscious effort to make sure to get rid of those motivations, or does practice of devotional service, even if it's not pure, take care of that automatically?
It is actually a question of both things happening simultaneously. So let's explain. So the first thing is that it's a question of taking the medicine properly. See, because what we're doing in Krishna consciousness, we're not trying to become something. Pure devotional service is normal for the soul. This is how we actually are when we're being completely natural. So anything other than that is an unnatural or artificial state. So as you clean away what's unnatural, all that's left is what's natural. That's the first point. But the second point is we have to aspire in that way. Yeah? And we will only aspire in that way if we understand why we should aspire in that way. You see? That's the point. So all of these teachings are to convince us, actually, you're not going to be happy just being a materialist. Even if you want, I'm going to be a pious materialist or I'm going to be a pious devotee, it's not going to work. To be very honest, it's not going to work. You can try it all you want. You're not going to be happy. Right? Because the only thing that's going to make the soul happy is what the soul naturally is. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Right? Mama eva amso. We are palm parcel of Krishna. This joy that people experience in spiritual life, the joy any devotee experiences in spiritual life is when Krishna in your heart is happy because of what you're doing. That's how it works. When he's pleased, you're happy. When he's dissatisfied with you, nothing happens. It's that simple. So the aspiration is part of the taking of the medicine. You see? So we have to aspire. Prabhupada says, Bhava Grahi Janadana, that Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's service. So the aspiration is part of it. I want that quality of service. I'm aspiring for that quality of service. I'm acting towards that quality of devotional service. And because you want it, as Prabhupada says in One Purport, man proposes, God disposes. Because you want it, Krishna's going to help you to get it. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, can we pass the mic?
Thank you for the class. It was a really nice class, by the way.
Thank you for tolerating us. Sorry, Krishna.
My question is, how do I distinguish realizations? Well, you know, sometimes when you're reading or you're doing chanting, you might see some visions on your mind or something like this.
Mm.
How do you distinguish the real ones from the ones that can be made from, you know, your ego or something like this? You know, you understand what I mean?
Yes. So there's two sides to this. The first one, you have to know the scriptures. The scriptures will give the symptoms of everything. Vishnu Jan Maharaj told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, when I'm offering bhoga to the Lord, he says, I see a green light around the food. he said that to Vishnu, and Prabhupada said, hallucination. He told him, he said, you're hallucinating. That doesn't mean that certain experiences don't happen. Anything can happen. Krishna's there. With the purified senses, one can perceive so many things. So many things can be perceived. But we have to know the scripture, because the scripture will actually help you to understand if you understand the scriptures, not just understand it, if you understand it deeply, then you have a very, very clear sense of all the symptoms and all the different stages. It's very, very clear. Those symptoms are given directly, right? Those symptoms are also given indirectly. For example, in the Shikshashtakam, the acharyas have explained that those different verses, they relate to different stages of spiritual advancement. For example, Nishta. This Trinada Pisanichano verse, that relates to Nishta Bhakti. So those are the symptoms of someone who's attained Nishta.
You see? So all of these different symptoms are given in different ways, directly, indirectly. So if you understand the teachings very deeply, you understand the symptoms at different stages very, very clearly. It's very, very clear. Nectar of Devotion also gives some things like that. So you understand where you understand how you're progressing. Let's put it that way. However, for some things, you will require association of more advanced devotees. When you're in the association, when we're in the association of very advanced devotees, there's so much that they can tell us. And they and if they're very advanced, the perception is much deeper. Honestly, it's a big topic, that one. But there's a much deeper perception. So even certain subtle things which are going on, they can help us to understand what's going on and understand what we need to work on. I remember so many times in association of a very advanced devotees, and they just tell me specific things, Buddha Bhavana, this, this, and this. This is going on, this needs to be worked on, this needs to be changed. Very, very clear. But we have to also be open to that. Because sometimes, and this is one thing that I was thinking about, if you approach advanced devotees with the wrong mood and they pick up that you've got the wrong mood, they may not tell you certain things. There's a purple in the Bhagavad Gita. It's in one of the verses which is talking about austerities of the mind, body, etc. And in that particular purport, Prabhupada says that the teacher should not instruct someone who's not their student. So if someone is not, and that means subtly, someone who does not take a submissive position.
They have to be willing to learn.
They have to want to know the truth, right? And they have to show that if you tell me the truth, I can actually, I'll take it in a mature way. And then depending on that, then you'll get a certain answer. Because ultimately, Krishna is in your heart. Krishna can tell you the truth through anyone. But do we want to actually hear it? That's the real question. Yeah. So the point is, that, so two things. As you study the scripture and learn the teachings more and more deeply, you understand how to discriminate. And second, even before that stage, even along with that, we should associate and take guidance from more advanced devotees. And if we say, reveal our minds, I'm experiencing this, how should I understand it? Then they can tell us, okay, that's real. Or they can say, no, don't take that seriously. Don't let that distract you. Focus like this, yeah. Because there is a misunderstanding that some devotees have that just because you experience something spiritual, which is a genuine thing sometimes, there's a misunderstanding that means that you're on that level. No, that's wrong. If you read the Nectar of Devotion, you can experience certain symptoms of an advanced stage, but to be on that level, you should be experiencing symptoms of that advanced stage consistently. You see? So that's the whole point. So there's the free sample, and then there's the actual complete experience.
So if you experience the same thing, you're seeing the same thing consistently all the time, then...
You'd have to check that with advanced devotees, and we'd have to look at the specifics of what someone's experienced.
Time and patience.
Cool. Because it is a real art. Some devotees, they'll experience certain things because of the association. It's a spillover. I know one devotee... He was at ISKCON London. He was around one devotee. He'd been practicing very intensely. And he could feel some of the shadow ecstasy coming off that devotee's body. And Prabhupada writes about that, right? So that shadow ecstasy. So he was just experiencing it by association. Someone else, they're experiencing something because they have that credit from their previous life. So they may even be a new bhakta, but what they're experiencing is because they have those spiritual credits from their past life. So they're getting some of the effect of that. Someone else... It's because they're experiencing a symptom of that, but it doesn't stay with them, you see? And someone else, they're actually on that particular platform. So when you study the scripture deeply, then you can understand that. Otherwise, it's easy to think that, oh, this person's experiencing this. That means they must be there. Not necessarily. Yeah.
So for me, since I was really young, I always had these, I saw this kind of stuff that I'm seeing. But since I started doing music, it really got really intense. And since I came to this place, it really got crazy, really, really intense. And sometimes I would be like, what's going on? So I would feel so bad as well. So what I'm trying to learn and understand is how to distinguish, because sometimes it might just be my ego. I'll do something and it is not really what I should do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might be real and it helped me.
So there's two points on that. The first thing is, even if a devotee has a genuine spiritual experience, if they take it the wrong way and they become proud, they'll lose that experience. You see? So the point is, it's the attitude to whatever you receive. And that means whatever you receive. even in the external world, or to speak of realization, the attitude towards everything that the devotee receives has to be Trinada Pisuni Chano. And especially when one receives something that they consider to be favorable, you should always think, I don't deserve it. You should think, I don't deserve it, but you, Krishna, are so kind. Radhanath Maharaj had a very wonderful way of saying this. He said that if we get some kind of positive experience and we have humility, we will take that experience as causeless mercy and love. But if we're proud and we have any spiritual experience, it will feed the ego and we'll think that we deserve it and we're better than other people. And therefore, we will lose that experience. Yep. So whatever we get, anything that we get, there should be a mood. A, I don't deserve it. And B, if I feel that I don't deserve it, it will be experienced by the heart, by the soul, as Krishna's causeless mercy. It will actually nourish the relationship. You actually feel correctly, Radha Gokulananda, I don't deserve this, but you're so incredibly kind that even though I've got no qualification, you still allow me to serve. Thank you so much. And it will nourish that relationship. That's the whole point. What we're trying to do is take everything in such a way that it nourishes the relationship. But the moment there's pride, it'll cut.
You'll lose it.
Yeah, it'll actually stop nourishing the relationship.
Well, thank you. That was good advice.
It's okay? Okay. Thank you. Okay, we should stop there. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.